The following is a pre-recorded program.
Well, I'm going to take some time today and interact with the haters.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with you. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you realize that we are audio only today. I am in Fort Worth, Texas, teaching at Mercy Culture, the spiritual leadership school, as I do every month from the school's inception, now in its third year. And I normally do my broadcast from here, Thursday, Friday afternoons. Last time we had some connection issues. They're really doing some major overhaul to try to get to the root of that and make sure that when we broadcast, we don't have any problems, because it hasn't been done yet since when I was here a little bit before Christmas to today. We thought, well, let's just go ahead and do this show in a pre-recorded way. And so I'm in Fort Worth, so it's almost live, but not quite. And I can't take your calls or interact with you in real time, but I think you're really going to enjoy this broadcast. So here's what I'm going to do today. We get hateful attack comments day and night, as would any public figure. But our social media pages, especially YouTube and things like that, can be especially filled with comments like this because we address lots of controversies. And it's part of my calling. And personally, I would love to have the time to interact with every comment. I would delight in that. First, because I care about people. And if you took the time to listen or watch or read, and then you took the time to say something, I would love to respect that and interact with you. I would love to. And second, if I could help you, if you have a legitimate question, something you're struggling with, wow, if I have the answer, what a joy to be able to give you that answer. And if you differ with me, I'd love to debate you. That's my nature. Let's argue it out. Let's have it out. Let's put the facts on the table. Let's dig. I would love to be able to do that. However, because of the amount of things on my plate in obedience to the Lord every day and the amount of comments that come in, it's not possible. I'm not going to see 99% of what comes in on all the different platforms that publish and promote our stuff. So as much as I would love to interact with everyone, I'm not able. That's one reason we do our best every day to be live and to take live calls, so we can interact with as many people as possible. That's a major reason for it, not just to be live so we can talk about things happening in real time as they're unfolding and giving a biblical perspective, but to interact with you. That's why I love to go out the phone there. I love to hear from people. And that's why I endlessly say, hey, if you differ, call in, but very, very few do, especially the ones that are really nasty. But what I want to do is kind of take you into my world today. And I've got thousands of comments to choose from, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Instead, I'm just going to sample some and kind of give you a feel, all right? Give you a feel for what comes in and how I would respond. And I'm not going to mention anybody's names. No, I have no desire to embarrass anyone. This comment says this: I've lost all respect for you after debates with opponents. Very disingenuous, very belittling, very misinformed. Continue the Zionist lie. Ah, that's obviously the issue here. Continue the Zionist lie. It will get you nowhere. May make you lots of dollars. Let's see, it's $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 dollar signs. But you are appealing to ignorance. Get back to biblical exegesis. You won't. Get an e-sword and go context by context through 66 books of scripture. You won't. So that was the comment. The thing that strikes me as so odd is where do people think I get my beliefs from? What do they think I've been doing the last 52 years? Why do they think I'm in the Word and going through the Word over and over and over? Why do they think I got a bachelor's in Hebrew and master's and PhD in Near Eastern languages and literatures, if not to dig more deeply into the biblical text and then took some time, not enough, learning Greek, and then amassed a massive library of commentaries and lexicons and grammars? And why, if not to study the text? And what if about all the hours on my face and seeking God for insight and understanding of what His Word says, Where did I get this from? Now, you can differ with me. You say, Dr. Brown, I think you're dead wrong in your interpretation. That's fine. But the idea that I didn't do what this fellow, forget Esau, I mean, we go 1,000 miles deeper than that and dig every way we know how with all kinds of other software and every tool that we have at our disposal to dig and to understand. Look, I wrote my doctoral dissertation on a single Hebrew word. And many of you, that's why you listen, because you know we're going to dig into the word together. So that's the thing that strikes me as so bizarre. Where does this person think I'm getting these ideas from? Is it just because I'm Jewish and therefore support Zionism, the idea that the Jewish people should have a homeland in Israel? What about when I stopped believing that in the late 70s and early 80s until I was convicted again by the word? The idea of, and this comes up a lot, that we're going to make money from this. So obviously we have a co-sponsor, Trivita, and we encourage you to check out their products because we think they're great. And then as funds come in, we use that. There goes 100% of that right back into radio. And then we encourage folks to support our ministry. And 100% of that goes back into our ministry outreach. But the idea that we do this for money, or hold theological positions for money, what a sick concept. What a carnal concept. Well, I'll hold to this view because it'd make me a lot of money. You know what would make me a lot of money? Holding to views I don't believe. Some of the most popular views out there are views that I don't believe personally. Yeah. But anyway, this is the kind of stuff that comes in. Here, again, there's a one, I can read endless ones here, but I'm just going to skip to this one. I saw this posted recently. It was to my video with comments in American Gospel 3. Hey, Michael, how much? Whoa. And this is also $5 signs. You got to be kidding me. How much money, so $5 signs, are you receiving by defending these demonic entities? You will not be able to take it with you. Isn't that funny? This was a random comment I switched to because I knew I had a money thing. It's the exact same. Is that a standard thing? You put $5 signs? So the idea that the reason I don't stand with what I would call hypercritics and American Gospel 3, the parts I saw that were sent to me in advance are hypercriticism and destructive criticism, along with very fair criticism of things I absolutely agree with and affirm and have written about and spoken about myself. The first question would be, why have I written whole books critiquing my own charismatic Pentecostal movement? Why have I been so outspoken about the failed Trump prophecies to the point of losing thousands of followers? Is that for money? When you lose followers and people turn against you, do you do that for money? And of course, to refer to good brothers and sisters as demonic entities, these are the lines that people cross that are just seriously dangerous and very, very ignorant lines. And maybe they don't really understand who some of these people are and what they believe. And where there are people that are charlatans and false prophets and false teachers, I denounce them as well. Those that I've seen over the years that are legitimately charlatans, amen, let's denounce them together. But it's the same question. And I guess people think like that. Maybe they're projecting. Maybe that's why they do what they do. And it's always with a monetary concern. But listen, when I got saved, I realized that following Jesus meant losing everything. I didn't lose everything right then and there. But, you know, I want to be a rock star. I want to play drums in a rock band and live a decadent life. That was my whole goal. That was everything in me wanted to do that. Well, getting saved meant the end of that. And then as I started to share the gospel with my Jewish people, I realized, well, it's going to mean rejection by my own people. And then over the year, I'm no martyr. I mean, we all have sacrifices. These are tiny, tiny, tiny things to let go of, ultimately being rejected and you know, not getting to have your decadent career, right? But the fact is, all of us as followers of Jesus have to make decisions all the time that can be costly. You do what's right on your job, you refuse to lie or go along with a scam, and you get fired. Whoa, is it? No, that's just what you do as a believer. The idea that you're going to compromise and lie for the sake of financial gain, who would do that? So again, it's a very, very odd perspective that people have. How about this one? This is, I guess, from a Black Hebrew Israelite supporter. OMG, you are an embarrassment. Learn true history. Your Eurocentric lenses have you totally blinded. Like most of you, you know you cite the lie. You are a descendant of Japheth and a descendant of Edom, a European Gentile.